Hey, when I talk into my water glass, do I sound like Darth Vader?
A little bit.
Luke,
Yes.
Pass me the remote.
I was going to say a little bit more like C-3PO.
Oh. So British? Hello and welcome to episode 239 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in, well, Tubing in Germany, Vancouver,
maybe.
Canada. I'm not sure. I didn't look far enough ahead.
I'm going to say Vancouver.
I'm going to say somewhere over Greenland.
Okay.
Maybe. And when this airs, maybe over the North Atlantic. I don't know. And with me, as always, is
Adam.
Definitely
in Vancouver.
Definitely in Vancouver. So maybe next show we'll sit across from each other. I don't know.
It's exciting. I'm anticipating
right now,
Right
now, physically as I speak, I'm sitting in Tübingen. But we've recorded a couple ahead due to travel, due to vacation, due to sometimes both together at the same time. And so I'll probably be in Vancouver when you're listening to this. That's what we're getting at.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
Same as it was 5 minutes ago. I got nothing new for you. I've exhausted all my new.
I will try to
think of something. Oh, you say so. Well, how about you tell us what's new with you? Because
baseball
I have got
season's over.
Okay. All right.
Assuming maybe.
So you don't have to sell any more hot dogs either?
Well, no, playdowns are happening.
Okay.
Actually, when I record this, we still have league games left, but when this airs, we will have just ended the season against Mainz, the Mainz Athletics, and hopefully we finish in seventh place.
What's your average sitting at right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
It's hovering around. It's not good. It's not good.
So let's hear it. Let's give it up.
It's hovering around Mendoza.
What's that?
200.
Really?
Yeah.
You're terrible.
Oh yeah.
What about ribbies?
Not that. We don't get many runs. I'll be honest with you. Our team is we are rebuilding. So.
just the place you want to be as a 43-year-old.
Well, when I'm 43, we will have rebuilt, so I'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, but
okay.
No. Part of the deal is I'm assuming actually after I've talked to you, I've probably raised my average quite a bit because
You're 275.
If I settle in at around 260, I would be thrilled. Okay. I started off strong, but then we faced some just ridiculously good pitchers, like guys who. Actually, they pitched AAA in the States.
Okay, so that's your excuse.
I think it's reasonable.
Okay, all right. They're better. They're better than you guys.
Oh, they're way better than us. I mean, these pitchers are way better than I am at hitting. No question.
Okay.
Yeah. No. If I was hitting 375 or 400 off AAA pitching, I wouldn't be in this league.
Okay.
No, I probably would because they are so. It kind of doesn't really make much sense.
Somehow that'll elevate you to the big leagues.
Well, put it this way: at this age, I would be in this league. But if I was hitting 400 off AAA pitching now at 41, that means 15 years ago I would have had a shot at the bigs. I didn't. I never.
Okay.
I was never that guy. I was never even close to I played with guys. Who did get that shot and didn't get close, and they were much better than me. So I don't want to oversell that.
Okay.
Done. All right. Having fun, though. That's the main
thing. Yeah, that's key. Yeah. That's the key. That's what you tell your kids, right?
I can still strike Jack out, though.
No, you throw him inside heat.
Yeah, that's to get him off the plate, and then I'm just going to dust that outside corner three in a row, and then he's gone.
Right.
Forget
Jack,
it.
Jack's looking forward to a rematch, if as long as you promise no neck shots.
No neck shots. I have a strict no. I also have a strict no crashing my bike policy. But we saw how that went.
Right. I'll put his hockey neck guard on when you throw against him. Yeah.
No, I'll stay away from his neck.
Okay. All right.
There was a news story about a photographer who was hanging around and took a picture of someone else's kids.
Okay.
I didn't forward this to you, did I?
No.
Because we've talked about it. We've talked about how, like, the reason I take my camera to the pool, and you know, we talked about it, about the responsibilities, rights versus responsibilities, quite a while ago. And my contention is most photographers aren't creepy, so don't worry too much about it. Not this guy.
He was creepy.
In my opinion, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot that came out of the story. It all came from the mother's side of things. I guess creepy guys didn't want to be interviewed, but the story, as I read it, was there was this guy hanging around at a McDonald's. I don't know if he was by himself or with other people, whatever. But this lady's kids were playing at the McDonald's on the playground or something like that. And when she wanders off to use the lavatory, he starts snapping photos of the kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's creepy right out of the gate.
Yeah, that's super creepy.
So, just so you know, I don't come down on the side of the photographer every time. This one was... This guy's making a bad name. No matter what, even if his intentions were pure, which I don't see how they could be, but maybe they were, it is not cool.
Agreed.
The end.
Yeah.
Also, ice cream is delicious, in case you're keeping score at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just pointing out the obvious at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting in the last 8 minutes?
No, did not. How about you? Did you save something to talk about?
I thought I would. I don't think I did. Just the modeling stuff that we shot.
Okay.
You know what's funny is we'll get into that with the photo challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and shot the modeling shots, and then had to snap a kind of like a touristy photo after of the her and her boyfriend.
Okay.
I just said I would do it as a thank you. And so I snapped it, and it looks terrible. Like, I'm looking at it like it doesn't, it, I was like, it shouldn't be this hard to snap a touristy photo. But it was. I think the modeling photo looks good, and then turn around and try to get the picture of them smiling in front of the old town, and just the sun came out, and I was fumbling around. It just looks, and it's fine, but you'd expect more from a guy who just, you know, has his own show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all. I was just remarking.
I haven't seen this photo we're speaking of, so I can't comment. But I'll agree with you.
Yeah. It's acceptable. It's just that, like, I know that she's going to send it home because she's traveling, and so she's going to send it home. And hey, everybody, here I am in Germany, and then they're going to go, "Wow, that's a decent iPhone shot."
Are you going to show this photo?
We'll see.
Okay.
Maybe if it's, I'll check with them and see. But
I'm going to imagine if she's agreed to the other photos, that I can't imagine why she wouldn't let you show this one.
You know, she'd be fine with it, I'm sure. But my point is, I was so unthrilled with it that I didn't even put like a watermark on it.
Mm.
And watermarks I usually put on more so for other people's convenience. If they go, "Wow, I love that photo. I wish I could buy that photographer an ice cream cone."
Mm-hmm.
How do I find them? And that's why it's there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Not so that people don't steal it, because I don't think it. But this one was so bad, I was like, I don't even want. I just put Alan Smithy on there and moved on with my day.
Right. Hey, you know what I forgot to talk about that's interesting?
I have no clue.
Amazon.
Oh, the river.
No, the right. Place where you buy stuff once you click through our site.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I forgot to mention,
because
we didn't mention it at the top of the show. Usually we mention it. Buy everything that you can ever imagine on Amazon.
Yes. Through our site, of course.
Yeah. See, it gets, because when we record two episodes back to back, sometimes the lines get blurry as to where or when we talked about it, but we didn't mention it this go around. So buy everything you could ever dream of on Amazon.
Well, if you're looking for that ETTL flash from last week, Amazon.
Yes, yes, Amazon, yeah.
Whether it be the Yongnuo or the Canon dedicated one or the Nikon one, whatever it is, you can find that on Amazon. Click through our site, and we keep going with the show.
One more thing that everybody should own that I use more and more now, and I don't know that I've given it enough due, is one of those big bounce boards, like one of those big pop-out bounce boards. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have the super big one. Mm-hmm. Wildly useful. Amazing. Yeah. To only have to set up one light and then use bounce with the other rather than, you know, having to set up two flashes and all the extra hassle. A lot of times you can get away with one light and the bounce board. A lot of times you can get away with just the bounce board, and it's relatively compact. It's pretty inexpensive. I think on Amazon you could get one that's like silver, white, gold. Some of them are just one color. Some of them are, you've talked about in the past, the ones that unzip and go 14 different ways. But mm-hmm. Get a big one, because the small ones are just less helpful. So get a big one. Yes. They collapse down. You can throw it almost anywhere. It's very light, and you will not regret it. And I want to say they're probably 40, 45 bucks, something like that.
They're more expensive. They are deceptively expensive.
At the camera stores, they're expensive, but on Amazon, they're absolutely cheaper. So,
but this is the thing because I come from the back in the day. When I would make my own, I'd find some white cardboard and put some tinfoil on the other side. And really, I mean, that's going to cost you 12 to 15 cents.
Yes.
And so you look at it like, why would I buy a light disc if I can have this for 12 to 15 cents? I'm going to pocket that extra $35. Get away from that. It is well worth the money. It folds up nicely. Like if you're, you know, you don't want to be riding the bus with a bunch of tinfoil on a piece of cardboard. You're going to look like that guy.
Yeah.
The good news is no one will sit next to you, so that's nice.
Yeah, yeah, it opens up a extra room for your gear.
Yes, but, I mean, even then, you want to, you know, fire that in your car? Could you, like, you don't want to put that light disc in your car wide open, but it collapses down really, really easy, and it is wildly handy. Now, the good news is, too, it kind of turns you into kind of a social guy, because either you have to have someone with you to operate it, or you can always just pass it off to somebody on the street. Hey, excuse me. You want to come over here and bounce? Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is there's like, you know, 90 different companies that make and sell these. And so, again, from my first glance at this thing, I don't think you need to spend $150 on your bounce board. I don't think it's doing anything exceptionally different than the one for $40 is. I bought a cheaper one, and it has served me just fine. The zipper works just as it did day one. And so here's a case where you're not buying glass here and clarity of image. You're essentially buying just whoever manufactured a bright, shiny piece of reflective material. And I think you can get away with saving a few bucks on this one.
You don't want the cheapest one necessarily, because it will crumble in your hand.
Yeah, so I think there's somewhere there's a happy medium, but I did not. You're right. I didn't buy the cheapest one. I definitely didn't go anywhere near the most expensive one. But mine has served me very well. I do think I bought mine at the photography store, and I want to say I paid about $55 for mine. But I've seen the exact one on Amazon for cheaper. So. And it pops up on Craigslist, too, all the time. I see them on Craigslist for next to nothing. And I think, well, you can't really break that down other than if the zipper doesn't work. So,
I don't understand. Like, at no point would I ever sell mine. Like, I would never look around my house and go, man, I need $8. I better move that bounce board. Like it will come in handy. It comes in handy for your iPhone photos if you want. Like, it's that good.
Yeah.
They are wildly... Now, you're at the point now where your kids are a little more self-sufficient than mine are. And so you can get away with that. Like, you know, like if your wife's going to bounce for you, like you don't really have to be quite the helicopter parent that I have to be with the 1.5-year-old grizzly bear.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that in the next few months, as, you know, he gets more self-sufficient, we can get the bounce board out more often.
I use my kids to man the bounce board all the time. They think it's the coolest job ever. Now, sometimes I have to, you know, tell them to stop moving it because they just wave it back and forth in the wind. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's actually kind of a job that the kids take pride in. So there you go. They often will argue over who gets to be the balance board person. So
wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's a hot move. I might consider that. Photo challenge this week was models or model based on it last week's interview with Dwayne. So did you shoot
you go
models?
First I shot a model. You go first because I went first last week.
All right, let's go with the black. I posted three just to sort of, you know, extend my stuff to talk about, but okay. I like the black and white one. The black and white one is my submission for the week.
I like the black and white one as well. Mm-hmm. If I had never seen the color version of that exact same photo, I would really like the black and white one. I like it as a photo, but when I see it side by side with the color one, I would absolutely choose the color one over the black and white of this photo. Only, and I'll tell you why. Only because her hair seems to be a characteristic of her personality. Like, I like red hair. Like I really mm-hmm. find it, I find it unique. And again, I feel like it speaks to the person. Just the hair color here is really vibrant. And I also really like that sort of rusty brown color on the wall that she's leaning up. I think it adds something to the photo that you get the texture in the black and white, but you lose that kind of color, which really goes nicely with her hair color. I feel like the hair color gets set off. The color of her shirt too, I feel really helps add something to the photo in the contrast of the colors with the background, and even a bit of the brown in the window frame in the background I really, really like. So I feel like you lose some of the character of the background when you go black and white here. Now, again, as a portrait of her, it's a great photo in black and white, no question, but I don't know that it speaks to the setting as well in black and white as it does in color. Again, I'm looking at them side by side right now, and I don't think you lose anything from her portrait part in color, but you gain something in the surroundings, like I say, the wall and the window frame in the background. So that's my two cents. Good photo both ways. I just think the color for me.
Wrong.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Wow, what kind of attitude is that? No. You know what? Now that I look at it, I agree with you. And now, just to be clear, this is two different photos. This isn't one in black and white and the same one done in color.
Right. One's a little closer and one has a little bit more black background blur. And again, I didn't study it enough. I can see it's a little bit more out of focus in the background to know whether you just cropped in tighter on the black and white or not. But yeah, it's probably taken in a sequence of like whatever, 10 photos, right?
Right. And so in this case, like I think when I was going through, you know, deciding which ones I liked, I think I did shoot probably 8 to 10 photos, and then I picked two I liked, and I just said, okay, this one will be black and white, this one will be color. And then when I looked at them later, when I was done processing them, I didn't like the expression on her face in the color photo. And so by then I had kind of already, you know, chosen one as black and white, one as color. So I think I'm going to go back and look at the black and white one in color.
Okay.
Just because I like the colors that you're talking about. For some reason, like, this is one of those times where you kind of go down a path and you kind of get set in your ways and you decide, all right, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going black and white. So I had black and white in my mind the whole time, and I guess I should have just opened up my horizons and said, you know, hey, just mix all your metaphors together into one. But
I think this is a good situation for the power of Facebook, and put a black and white and a color side by side, and let's put it to a vote.
Mm-hmm.
There you
Will
go.
Do. So in the color one, so I'll just tell you how I shot this. I was going to bring the bounce board. Now, this girl is not a model, although probably could be, has very nice features, and as luck would have it, this wasn't even planned when we talked about models last week. I didn't even know that buddy on my ball team, his girlfriend was coming over from the States to see him for a couple weeks. She's here now, but in the past when you're listening to this, so that's the space-time continuum part. But I said, hey, listen, hey, you're going to be in town tomorrow. How about I meet you and we'll, you know, take a modeling shot? She was like, yeah, sure, that's great. And so we went there, and of course, really the only time that we were both available was like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a really sunny day. So right out of the gate, like that really narrows your options, right? Mm-hmm. But I wanted to meet in the old town. I wanted to meet, you know, and really show off kind of that German feel, even if it was going to be out of focus. You know, the out of focus cobblestones in the background and the old buildings and like, you know, the wall that's probably 600 years old, which is in focus. I wanted to showcase all that. So I went and looked for like a shaded area, like because you can also find a lot of open shade on these days, even at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So I went and found that. I was going to bring a bounce board, but ultimately I thought I'm going to travel even lighter. I'm just going to bring a flash because, you know, will her boyfriend, you know, what's going to be easier for him to you know, handle for the first time without, you know, too much deviation. And so I went with the flash. And so I brought a flash that he's just going to hold in his hand like your wife did at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Through a half CTS, color temperature straw. Was going to grab an orange, but grabbed a straw and by accident first, and just that'll be fine. That's going to be a nice color. And basically had him stand in this one just off to the right, camera right. And the flash, it's a hard light. I didn't want to bother softening it up. I knew that she was had fine features, and so that hard light would flatter her. And basically he just fired it, turned the flash sideways so it ran like up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give the most spread across her whole body, at whatever it was, zoomed as far out as it could. I shot a couple of these with a snoot just to highlight her face, but it just took away from the image, like because the whole, you know, like her whole upper body just kind of it blends well in this situation, and the focus was just really on her face only, and it was just kind of eh. So I took the homemade snoot off, put it down on the table there in the marketplace, and it's still there.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, it's just duct tape and some cardboard, so I can make another one.
Okay.
I didn't go back and look for it. I just realized when I got home, I thought, oh, yeah, that's sitting down there on the table. Someone will just throw that in the garbage. But anyways, and so that's how that this image came about. So, and then I thought, well, you know, I want to snap another one. I want a full body shot. So we went and looked for some shade, and there's some cool looking stairs across the marketplace. And I thought, oh, we'll go ahead and have a seat here. And she kind of sat, I just sat her down and said, point your feet that way. And the rest was her. She just sat there, I think in a nice pose, got her hair out of her face. And it's an okay image, but we were kind of limited. I didn't want to shoot there because the chairs in the background, but everywhere else had bright, bright sun that was really blowing the image, so I had no choice. So ultimately, this one didn't make the cut.
Yeah, I don't like it nearly as much as the other one, so it's fine. That's kind of the category I would put it in, but for all the reasons you said, it just the situation here, like just where the wall is, where the chairs are, where she's sitting. Nothing wrong with the pose. I think just that the background doesn't work.
No, it's really, really incongruous with her, and so
yeah.
You know, if she were sitting on like a wall or something like that, doing this with some nice background or some depth in there, I'd probably use something very similar to this pose again. She did a really good job.
Yeah. Pose is fine. It's, again, got nothing to do with the model here. Just not the right situation.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So that's the end. I got nothing else to talk about.
Okay,
yours.
Mine, done in my living room with the gray paper roll, which I just ran out of. So I'm going to need to get another one of those because I love using the gray paper roll because it can become black or it can become gray just or anything in between based on how much light you throw at it. So I had in my mind a very specific idea, which was kind of over the top modeling pose. With my daughter, so I had her kind of come up with her own pose. So she has, you know, very specifically chosen one hand facing one way, other hand facing the other way, kind of highlighting her face as the key element here. And one light done in the little softbox that we both have, the Cheetah Stand softbox, with a grid on it, feathered in front of her to keep the background black, so I don't want to have any of that light hitting the background paper. So all the ambient light in the room killed, and just again throw that light in front of her, and then my wife manning the bounce board with the silver side on camera left, just throwing a little bit of light back at her. So the light from the softbox passing in front of her, mostly hitting the bounce board and coming back to kind of create some of that even, some of that, just that little bit of light on her right ear or camera left again. So that's all it is. So you see there's a tiny bit of a catch light on her left or camera left, but her right eye in the bottom corner, that's different from the catch light on mm-hmm. On camera right, and that's because of the bounce board. Now, I could have photoshopped that out, but I pulled this from my camera at 11 o'clock last night before I went to bed and said, nah, that's good. And I liked the photo. This is straight out of camera, other than I cropped it as a more square crop. So I did nothing to this image other than, like you say, export it from the camera and just wash the color out a little bit. I wanted the green in her shirt not to be too vibrant. I thought it might take away from the picture. So I kind of brought down the green a little bit. But other than that, this is straight out of camera, again, done very quickly. So that's it.
No, I like the photo. It's she looks, she doesn't have her, she looks sad.
She's supposed to, like, the idea was I did not want super smiley. Like, I didn't think it did not fit the, because I do have some of her smiling with this exact pose. It does not fit the mood of the lighting. So I said, you know, I want model chic. Like, I want this to look like, again, I don't know. And I was thinking like an advertisement for something, but except for I didn't have a product to advertise. But right. I wanted it almost like a mime, like, again, just a super stoic kind of look. And so those are the ones that popped out to me when I looked, is the super smiley ones are fine, except for the lighting doesn't fit it at all, whereas I thought this expression was way more suited to both the pose and to the lighting I had. So as I flipped through it and Lisa agreed, I was like, boom, it was like, yeah, not the smiley ones, the one. And yeah, maybe you'd say sad, but definitely I would put it in the class of curious. Or
she's not, I don't mean sad really, but what, I know your daughter and she's such a smiley, bubbly kid that this was, you know, I get that's the whole point. You're having her doing some, you know,
yeah,
taking direction. That was the idea. Otherwise, it would just be a snapshot.
Exactly.
So how was it working with her? Did she do what you asked?
She loved it. This was, again, she's in that age range of thinks being a model is like the coolest thing ever. So the big thing was, is that we let her put on, I don't know, some lip gloss or something. So as soon as we let her put on the lip gloss, it was like all business. It was like, all right, I'll do it if you let me put on a little bit of lip gloss. And then it was a super intense, I'm ready to model, daddy, just tell me what you want me to do. So
that part, negotiations. Good,
yeah, that part was very cool. And I just said, like, you know, taking photos of her doing this kind of thing, super easy. Trying to, you know, because again, she's interested and she likes the look and she wants to see the photo. Sometimes she even wants me to make a print of it for her room. Like I told you, I have like a magnetic clipboard. And so when she sees a photo that she really likes of herself, she wants a print so she can put it up on the board in her room. So this is another one that will go up on her board.
On her board. Wow. Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. Made the board.
You made the board. Good for you. That makes you feel good, huh?
Yeah.
Great. This week's topic, moving right on to that. And did we mention in the show that we're recording ahead of time and the schedules are different?
Yes.
Maybe we did, or it was last week. I don't remember, but
I think you mentioned that, you know, you'd be somewhere over the ocean or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the point being is that for August, you can we're taking a hiatus, but we're still doing new shows if that's possible. A hiatus means you take a break.
Right.
We're not taking a break.
Right.
However, we're taking a break, probably taking a break from the standard format for August because just it's really busy times, etc. We're still going to do new content, but the shows might be a little bit shorter. They might be in the 40 to 45 minute range. That's the plan. Adam is pretty long-winded, though.
Mm-hmm. So I stretch it out. And sometimes I just talk slow.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, or you add a lot of really, reallys in there.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, basically dramatic pauses.
That's a great idea. We should totally think about doing that. Actually, you know what I didn't mention last week, and I should have mentioned?
What?
just while we're on the subject of this, when I was in Mannheim, one of our listeners came out to the game and took some photos.
Okay.
It's Dave. His name is Dave. He's the one who redid our
music.
Theme music a couple of years back.
Okay.
And so I'd never met him, and I was interested. You know, I was like, wow, of course I wanted to meet him. You know, he's got such a big pedigree in the music business. He's been here for a long time. I said, yeah, so I'll come out. And they've never shot sports before, so he brought his camera out, his mirrorless Sony with the 70 to 200 lens, and shot a bunch of pictures that I haven't seen yet.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, have you seen?
No. This was taken... Those photos were taken, you know, a mere 12 hours after my bike crash.
Okay.
So I was probably still a little bit concussed and looking like, you know, I went a couple rounds with Mike Tyson.
But you still played that game.
I played the very next day, yes. Okay. That's how I do.
Yeah.
I took a couple of Advil, though, which I had not done. I have not done the entire year. I've not had to take a single, like a single ibuprofen the whole year.
But a lot of Ben Gay on the knees.
No. Compression sock. So that's pretty bad. But I took a couple of ibuprofen to make sure I could play. But no, definitely wasn't going to miss that game.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was nice to meet Dave, and I'm glad he came out. So that's all. And if he sends any pictures of from that day, I'll be sure to post them. This week's topic. This is something I've wanted to talk about for a long time, because you do hear it, not as much as you used to, I think. I think with the proliferation of flash photography and the knowledge that is being shared, like with the strobist stuff and all that stuff. But you still every once in a while hear someone announce that they are an available light photographer.
Yes.
Oh, I'm an available light photographer.
Right.
When you hear that, do alarm bells go off?
Yes.
And so they should.
Because why would you need to specify that?
It basically, you're announcing that, oh man, flash confuses me.
Right.
So I'm going to sit back and pop snapshots and call it art. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do. Now, here's the thing. That's not always the case. Sort of. It's okay, you know what? Anybody who announces they're an available light photographer, like without even talking about photography, if they just that's how you meet them. Hi, I'm Alan. Hi, I'm an available light photographer. That's the alarm bell. Mm-hmm. But just because somebody is an available light photographer doesn't mean they're bad at it.
True.
So that's the sort of part. I find that people who announce it are often basically compensating for the fact that they don't know how to use a flash or light at all, and they're the ones who are really good available light photographers don't even bother mentioning. They just say they're a photographer and move on with their day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's certain things, like, you know, this is where I think you talked about this with Amber, where when you're hiring somebody, if you've got a wide range of requirements and situations that they're going to shoot in, you want somebody who knows how to use flash. Perfect example was the wedding that I shot, what would now be a few weeks ago, is there's just scenarios there you can't do without flash. If you do, the images are going to be terrible. Probably a lot of them you won't see much of anything, and mm-hmm. Super grainy, because your ISO can only do so much, right? So you absolutely, if you're going to walk into a scenario and you're going to do it for work, and you don't know necessarily what's coming, and you're just going to have to sort it out on the fly, you can't do it just as an available light photographer most of the time. I'm gonna argue.
Correct. Especially in those situations where you have to shoot a lot of different scenarios all in this very short time span.
Exactly.
Now, if you have an opportunity and say, I have one photo in mind, I'm going to take this one photo, you can probably recreate it. Or just create it with available light if you know when and where to shoot and get kind of a little bit lucky. So the point is what I'm want to talk about today is how to be an available light photographer. Because it is a good thing if you do it well. And okay. I like doing it. Like I love it if I don't have to have any supplemental light.
Agreed. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with you.
when we do light, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, we try to recreate wonderful available light.
Right.
If all the planets aligned and it worked out and the light is perfect, that's how we would imagine it to look, so that's how we light it. But why not use it in the first place?
Exactly.
So, it sounds like a cop-out to say that that's what you do, but I find it can be much more difficult to take a good available light photo. You need to put yourself in a good position.
Yes.
That's the first thing. You have to know the light. How will it behave? When will it behave that way? Because you're not taking good available light photos at noon. It's not going to happen. Whether it's in you'll get acceptable results if you find open shade, but I'm talking about a really, really beautifully lit photo. So you kind of have to look around and say, how do the shadows fall in a certain location?
Right.
How strong are those shadows? Are we going to get really, really deep blacks, in high contrast? And will that play in our photo? Is that going to work out well? Where are the shafts of light? Now, whenever I think of an available light photo, I think of shaped light. I don't think of just a bath of light. Like on a cloudy day, sure, you get nice faces. It's easy to do. But I think of how you would do something really, really high impact with like shafts of light coming in and creating different shadows and breaking up your image. Where does that occur? At what time of the day? That's okay. Something that you have to mark down. Like you have to always be on the lookout for that.
Keep a notebook on that.
And remember that, if you find a place that, and then a few days later, it's going to be a couple of minutes different. How do these shafts of light affect the contrast in your image? Because this is the biggest thing. This is one of the hardest things to manage in an available light photo, is to rein in the dynamic range without shooting a HDR,
Right.
Because, you're in bright sunlight, you got dark shadows, not everything's going to register. So how do you find that perfect balance? And that's something that you have to consider.
And that's tough to do. Like, if you're walking around and you're marking it down in your head, oh, the light looks really cool at this point. And if your plan is to shoot a portrait of somebody, you kind of need a test shot with that person, because where their skin tones are going to register, within that dynamic range is going to be different than just shooting the background on its own. So you might have that shot. Oh yeah, perfect. I've got a great range here, but then you put your person in there and it's too dark on their face, which kind of will sour the image, right?
And then you end up, you think, oh, maybe I'll have to, crank up the, open up a little bit, and then your background blows out.
Exactly.
So that's the thing, and this is. What's really difficult, because you're going to go out there and you're going to find a spot that you like. Let's say you find the perfect spot. Maybe you have sunlight kind of coming in from behind. This is what I look for. I look for sunlight coming in as a backlight, mm-hmm. which might throw a great color across the street. Again, I have an advantage because I'm going to be shooting in the old town here, and the cobblestones are going to light up. And the cobblestones themselves are an interesting part of the photo. Whereas, asphalt, not really.
Right.
That's a tough sell. You might want to, keep that out. But I'm going to look for where that kind of is kind of lit up from behind. And that sunlight is going to hit a building across the street and bounce back on my subject and provide its own fill. Now, the cool part about this is, obviously you're going to shoot this later in the evening. You can do it in the morning as well, but most likely you're going to do it in the evening as the sun, dips down over the horizon just beforehand. You have to know when that's going to happen, because there's going to be a perfect balance. Like if you shoot it too early, you're not going to get enough bounce. If you shoot it too late, it might be too much bounce and the background might go out. So you're going to have like 60 seconds where that perfect homeostasis, is that a word?
Yep.
Where that is existing and you get to shoot that. So you have to know when that's going to happen and get there early. But when you're shooting with light that you control, you pretty much you're wide open as long as your batteries hold up.
Right.
You know, you keep shooting and shooting and make your mistakes. Not in this case. This case, you better be ready. So that's a very specific situation that I look for a lot. I love backlighting. I love it, especially in the summertime. You kind of get that those like the little bugs and dust particles in the air that light up, and yet you can still get light on your subject, and it just everything kind of falls perfectly into that zone. Look for natural occurring reflections. That's a big thing. That's something that you probably, that I guarantee if you're walking around with your friends or your wife, they probably don't ever notice that. But those are things that you want to look for. Where does that fall?
Okay.
So that's something else to do, available light. What is one of
glass
your favorite?
Glass buildings, right? You're talking about, like, you know, where
yeah,
you
could, get glass, could just be, you know, a window in a building. Right. You know, yeah. And which is really, really cool because ideally you're going to find like a nice white building with smaller windows in that, it's the kind of thing you can find here in Germany. So that white light is going to come, that soft light is going to reflect off that building with some hard spots coming in from those windows.
Right.
So you get this wonderful mix and you can shape that. You can move your subject here and there. Now, if you're shooting a wedding like you're talking about, you absolutely could shoot an available light wedding and get these results if the couple was cool with getting two photos from their day.
Yeah.
But they don't. They want 500.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to somewhat recreate available light. Now, you obviously don't have time to go, you know, full out on every shot. It's just not possible for 500 of them. So you give it the best you can. You get a nice bounce off a wall or something like that. Also, one of the other things, too, is it doesn't have to be a white wall. You can get some really interesting effects from having like a yellow wall with the windows in between reflecting light back. So you get this nice, kind of nice, you'll get like a nice orange or yellow glow with your normal colored light breaking that up. So this is something I look for. Now, what's another situation that you often try to emulate, but you can always use?
I don't know.
Window light.
Sure, window light.
We have talked specifically about window light, that this is your best friend.
Yeah, I love window light.
Love it. Love it. Indirect, especially when it's indirect and it's just this glow coming in. That's generally what we try to recreate as often as we can, which sometimes is easy, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're just not going to compete with Mother Nature.
And it falls off in a very kind of different way than flash, kind of, it's again hard to mimic without modifiers and whatnot. Like regular, yes. Regular hard flash does not fall off the way that window light does in a room. So it's a very pleasing light to look at.
Yes. It's also important, not just when you're outside looking, you know, looking for, you know, where the light falls, that can happen inside as well. Like, you can get great results. I mean, it just came to my mind when I was shooting some team photos for baseball. We shot some in like February or something like that. Obviously, we weren't going to go outside. It was terrible looking. But the gym that they were playing in, or practicing in, actually had a row of high windows across the very top of the gym, a very high ceiling, and just the windows were at the very top. And so the sun was very low, and the sun kind of came down in a spotlight effect on one strip across the floor. Mm-hmm. So naturally, I set them up, set the bench up there. They all sat on it so that they were backlit by this light, and then I supplemented the available light by throwing some flash in their face, and that was a great way to use the available light.
I'll give you another example. This is part of my yes and here. When I was doing the wedding, I had met the guys at the hotel, which is often a place where you'll do kind of getting ready shots. And like most hotels, it had like, you know, a set of kind of sliding glass doors at one side with a little balcony there. And so I opened the sliding glass doors and sort of stood it just on the edge of the balcony. And again, based on where the position of the bed was, I kind of lined the guys up right there. And so my back is basically, I'm shooting with the direction of all that nice window light. And then same thing, I took a few just available light photos like that look great because it's all, they're lit because they're close enough to the window light that they're being lit by the window light. And then again, I did a few where I threw in some flash just to supplement to get a more dramatic kind of look to some of the images. So again, you're going to come across that situation a lot where, you know, if there, a hotel is a great spot to look for this. If there is a huge kind of sliding glass or balcony, you just step back there and shoot into the room, and you've got tons and tons of this available light coming in. And on an overcast day, it's just such a nice, beautiful, soft light.
And so if your photographer announces that he is an ALP, that's what we're going to call it now, by the way.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And proceeds to take photos like this, you can rest easy. You can look at it and think, okay, he knows what he's doing, or she knows what she's doing. You know, and that's the kind of person that you want. But generally, those photographers aren't exclusively available light. They might prefer it. Like, I know Amber is the same. Amber would love to shoot the whole day with available light.
Right.
And not because she's lazy, which is often the case, but in her case, no way. But she knows that it's just not going to happen the whole day. But if you could, like, wouldn't that be great? Like, you know, you could have a venue that would support something like that. That would be fantastic. That would be ideal because the results would just be astounding. So, I guess what I'm saying is don't write off your ALP just yet. You want to be an ALP, but also shoot flash when it comes in.
Right.
The better you're going to get, the better available light photographer you become, the better flash photographer you will become, because you'll start trying to replicate that wonderful light in your own lighting.
Yes, and I think that as people start doing flash, they basically start shoehorning it into situations where it might not be necessary. Because you have this element of control that, you know, makes you feel like a Zen master or something, that you can, you know, basically do anything you like, except for sometimes you're missing a more pleasing light or just a more natural looking photo, because the available light, you know, could be used in a way that actually makes for a better picture. So I found that I went through a phase where I did that so much, where it was just like, no, I'm gonna light this, because I was really just trying to hone my lighting skills. And then it got to a point where I kind of went the other way and I started withdrawing the flash because of easier, less setup time, and sometimes better photo. And then now I'm kind of somewhere in the middle where I'll look available light first. And then again, if it's what I like, then great, moving on. But if it isn't, then I try to use the available light and not just kind of override it with the flash.
I think you get to the point, and you get past it, where you think, well, they're paying me, so I better get my equipment out.
Yeah, and there is a little of that sometimes too, but yeah. I even feel like I'm getting over that too. I just want the best image, and you know, if the image is going to be good in the end, nobody's going to worry about how it was done. It's just make a good image.
Right. That's you don't have to justify your existence. I mean, you spent many years getting to this point of how to look for great light. It's funny because my photo challenge this week was essentially, I was trying to replicate a situation in that exact spot. That I know that spot in town because at a certain time in the evening, the light reflects off a building across the street. And the good thing about like the old town, like in Tubingen, is that everything's at kind of a weird angle. Like there's very few parallel and perpendicular lines. And so you're bound to get weird reflections anywhere if you look for them. So this one is a great spot because sunlight hits a particular window across the street and shoots a shaft of light right across where she was standing. And that's how I knew this corner. And so ultimately I knew it wasn't going to happen at 2:00 in the afternoon, so I would have to recreate it. Being that it was in shade, I could do a reasonable facsimile with the flash.
Right.
If I were to go back this evening, in the next probably hour or so, it would look phenomenal. Like, it would look much better than I could do with the flash.
Right.
It just, again, it would just schedule wise, it didn't work out. So my point is, I got to go.
Okay.
I'm going to snap that photo right now.
Okay.
I'm not. That's a lie. There you go. So there you go. That's the available, the ALP. Think about it. Become one.
I'm already becoming one as we speak. I have another little mention here, just something that I, off the top of my head, not really related to what we were talking about, but just overall related to photography.
That's when you have to ring the bell and yell, segue.
Yeah, so this is one of those segues. Spending more and more time in Lightroom, and certainly, you know, with all the editing of those wedding photos, spent hours and hours in Lightroom. And for anybody out there who still hasn't gone and got Lightroom, you should do it. It is unbelievable. And I'm thinking of a specific situation that I don't know how I could have done it in Aperture. Makes it wildly simple in Lightroom is noise reduction. So,
oh yeah,
you know, so just the ability to reduce some of the digital noise, because sometimes you're forced to shoot high ISO because not enough light, and maybe you need a shutter speed because, you know, they're moving around. And the ability to reduce the noise to where it's almost invisible is out of this world good and simple in Lightroom. And so we've never specifically talked about that noise reduction control, but unreal. There's a whole bunch of sliders related to it, maybe five or six, and mm-hmm. you can dial it in, and you can, you know, do your pixel peeping and look at exactly how it's gonna look when someone's staring at it close up, which they're probably not gonna do, but you can really get rid of the bulk of that noise, and it is awesome. So
Aperture has it.
Okay. I didn't really use it. Yeah.
I haven't used it, yeah, because I think their options are either off or here you are all plastic.
Right, yeah.
And so that's what I really liked about the Lightroom version, which I don't use very often, again, because I do my best to put myself in a position where I don't have noise, but yeah. It comes up. It happens.
Yeah.
And more so for me than you, because, you know, you have the 6D, which does a much better job of handling it than the 5D Mark II, evidently.
Yeah.
And so I still, whenever I do use it, I dial it in a little bit, and the results that you get from just a little bit are fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. They're awesome. And so I used it for different photos in the wedding, and I was so happy with the result. Whereas, I mean, it would have been fine with a little bit of noise anyways, but I really just thought that I didn't want any of that noise to be distracting to the particular images. And like you say, it doesn't require much. And just you can't even tell. You would never know that there was noise reduction was used in most of those photos. So mm-hmm. Super helpful tool for those who aren't using it. Or maybe you have Lightroom and you just haven't played around with that. So check it out.
Definitely check it out. Scroll down on the right-hand side and check it out.
Yeah. So there you go. My tip. That's my tip for the week.
Great. Challenge for next week. Got to be available light, Adam.
Okay, I was gonna come up with something completely off topic. Yeah.
Light a dark room. No. Come on, we're gonna do the ALP. We're gonna call it that from now on. The ALP.
All right.
Because the available light photo is that's a mouthful.
Yeah. All right.
Websites, Adam. Where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Facebook Two Hosers Facebook site. And how about your stuff?
You can find my stuff at AlanNatridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com. You can find all the links to all the stuff we just talked about. And maybe when you're listening to this, maybe not quite yet, we'll put a photo up of the two of us together in person, live.
Wow, that'll be something.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.